Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
All right. It's another edition of Sports Overnight America here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. We're brought to you by Geico and Rocket Mortgage. With Rocket Mortgage, $10,000 towards your closing costs. Go to rocketmortgage.com. What a weekend of sports we had, man. College football upsets left and right. The playoff picture is more uncertain than ever. I mean, are we really going to see Alabama and Ole Miss not make this 12-team playoff? The bracket's looking very, very, very exciting. We're going to go through that. A crazy weekend of NFL football as well. Tonight, however, we have the Harbaugh Bowl as the Ravens travel to SoFi Stadium to take on the Chargers. As of right now, Baltimore is a -2.5-point favorite. Total is set at 50.5. We're going to dig into that on tonight's show. We have Zaid Hussein and Giovanna Scroggins talking some NFL and some college football. And at 40 past the hour, we have David Fletcher, author of Chili Dog MVP, written about baseball great Dick Allen, as the Baseball Hall of Fame has announced an 8-person ballot that will consider its classic baseball era committee for the Hall of Fame class of 2025. For tonight's game, I couldn't be more excited. Who would have thought at the beginning of the season that the Ravens and the Chargers would be one of the most intriguing matchups of the year? As we heard on Brock Hines Sports in 60, Justin Tucker has not been on his game at all. He is a for sure Hall of Famer, probably the greatest kicker ever, but he just hasn't had it this year. And in a game where Baltimore is a -2.5-point favorite, is he going to play a role? Is he going to make or break this game? We saw this coaching matchup in the Super Bowl back when it was the Ravens and the 49ers. For those who watched, remember the infamous blackout in that game when all the lights went out. Hopefully, no issues with the lights tonight, but this is going to be an absolute shootout, in my opinion. This Ravens offense has been absolutely stellar outside of the game against Pittsburgh last week, where they failed to put up more than 16 points. A ton to get to here on Sports Overnight America. Stay with us. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. We'll be right back. Love you came to my rescue. I knew the moment I met you. Lonely and I was crying. Hurting, I felt like dying. Ooh.
There are Black Friday deals, and then there are Kohl's Black Friday deals. Where else can you get 40% off Levi's, up to 50% off Sephora fragrances, and home favorites for under 10 bucks, all in the same place? And it gets better. You can score extra Kohl's cash with $15 earned for every 50 spent. Get 15% off some of your finds, and save even more with limited-time doorbusters, like 50% off toys. Select styles. Offers end November 29th. Coupons do not apply to Levi's and toys. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, Don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there. All right, welcome back to Sports Overnight America here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Happy Monday. What a weekend we had, and I couldn't be more excited to talk about it with Zayd Hussain. Let's get him in here. Zayd, my friend, how are we doing?
Doing great, Ty, man. What a weekend of games. Couldn't be more excited to break it down. And we got a really, really big game tonight here with the Chargers versus the Ravens. A lot of interesting things happened this weekend.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's start right there. This Ravens-Chargers game, I don't know. I mean, for me at least, I wasn't expecting the Chargers to turn it around this quickly. I believed in Harbaugh. I'm a huge Michigan guy. But here they are, 7-3. A short underdog at home versus a Ravens team that, outside of a couple fluke plays, obviously, most famously, the Chiefs game one at the beginning of the season, literally a toenail away from winning that one. You know, the Ravens are as dominant as it gets on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense has been lacking a little bit. What are you thinking for this game tonight? This spread is very, very intriguing to me. Brock Hines brought up a great point. The Chargers just historically are a horrible, horrible home team. As an underdog, do you think they stand a chance to win this one tonight?
I think they win tonight outright, and I think looking back on the historic facts, it really means nothing. I think this is a brand new football team, and the curse of the Chargers losing these close games and blowing these leads, I think, are out of the window. When you look at what Harbaugh's done with this team in such a short amount of time, it's nothing short of extraordinary, to be honest with you, man. I think Herbert is playing some of the best football of his life. You know, the running game led by J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, this is a 1-2 punch that, you know, the Ravens had in the past. Literally had both players, Dobbins and Edwards. And these guys are playing great football. Dobbins finally healthy, running the ball extremely well, coming off of a 2-touchdown performance. And then Edwards, a change of pace, power back. This is a team that's running the ball well and throwing the ball well. And then you want to talk about something that stuck out to me is Herbert's ability to rush the ball. I know his over-under on yards running is set at 19.5. I think that's way too low. I see a lot of design runs planned for tonight, and it's been planned in the past last couple weeks, Herbert running the ball on, you know, quarterback options, quarterback sneaks, draws, you know, so many different ways they've incorporated him in the running game. I think this is a very dangerous Chargers team at home. Getting 3 points, give me them. I think they really do win outright tonight.
If the Ravens are going to win this game, what do they have to do?
You know, the thing is, the Ravens have a hard time sometimes. They just beat themselves, and their defense has to be better. Their defense has not been that the last couple weeks. They've been making a lot of mistakes. This is a team that offensively has been performing, but sometimes it just comes way too late. You know, for me, You have to be able to stop Herbert, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it tonight. I think the offense is going to lag behind a little bit, and they're going to fall behind early. I'm sorry, and I don't think catch up.
We talked about this team a lot last week. You were in favor of if you could get them to as a Super Bowl future to win as they get healthier. You had a lot of belief in them. I was right there with you. As of right now, the 49ers have a plus 185 chance just to make the playoffs. They got absolutely smoked this weekend. Granted, to give them a little bit of credit, Brock Purdy was out. Brandon Allen slid in for him. He threw 17 for 29, 199 yards with a touchdown. But the Packers absolutely smoked the 49ers behind three touchdowns from Josh Jacobs. Final score 38-10. What's the outlook for the Niners here? You know, are they a playoff team in your eyes still at this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we discussed last week, this is a team that has to get healthy. And I think if they're healthy, like I said, that they could beat anybody in the NFL. But if this is a team that's not going to get healthy, you're going to see what you saw this weekend. And that's a team that's struggling on the defensive end and just not enough weapons to be there offensively. They have to get healthy. But if they do, Ty, I mean, like I said, I think that if they sneak in the playoffs and they're healthy, that they could beat anybody. It doesn't matter what seed they are.
The Chiefs are now 10-1. However, they only beat the Panthers by 3 and gave up 27 points to the 3-8 Carolina Panthers. Are you worried for the Chiefs? I spoke about this last week on air a lot about, you know, how I was a little concerned for Kansas City. Although, you know, I'm a firm believer that teams that find a way to win, no matter how it looks, are very, very dangerous, and that seems to be the Chiefs. What is your prediction for the Chiefs moving forward? Are you nervous for this team at all? Are you seeing any holes? You know, where do you stand with the Kansas City Chiefs as of right now?
For me, I think this is a team that's really just coasting. They're doing enough to win, and I think they're bored. Like when you see a Panthers team on your schedule, like you're kind of almost overlooking them. And I think that's what we saw this weekend. Overall, I'm not worried at all about this team. I mean, you added a new elite weapon in DeAndre Hopkins now that Mahomes is slowly meshing with more and more. The running game is doing good, and now you're going to add Pacheco back probably this week. I think they'll get him back because he's been practicing limited for the last couple weeks. So once you get Pacheco back for the playoffs and then you have your weapons offensively rolling, I mean, look at Noah Gray. He's a guy that came out here and he's scoring touchdown after touchdown. I think he had 2 touchdowns this weekend. You know, besides Kelsey, they have multiple weapons now. And I think that this is a team come playoff time that nobody's going to be able to stop. At the end of the day, I think Mahomes and the Chiefs walk to another AFC championship. And then, you know, it's going to be them versus the Bills, if I had to guess, to go to the Super Bowl.
Let's shift over to your home city of Chicago. The Bears impressively forced overtime in this game. They fell just short, lost to the Vikings 30-27 in overtime. Their record falls to 4-7. The Vikings at 9-2, which is, I mean, just insane. And the Vikings did it in not traditionally how they've been doing it, where Justin Jefferson has to carry this team and go off. And Aaron Jones had 106 yards rushing with a touchdown. Addison, 8 receptions, 162 yards with a touchdown. Caleb Williams had a great game, though. He threw for 340 yards with 2 touchdowns. Is this just simply the Vikings are further along in their rebuild, for lack of a better term, than the Bears are? It was this coaching errors for you that led to this loss. You know, where do you go with this game?
You know, for me, I wouldn't even say, I mean, the Vikings are 9-2. They've showed that they're a really, really good football team. And Justin Jefferson said it best. Yeah, he had 2 catches for 27 yards, but that's all by design. That's the Bears taking him completely out of the game. And if you're going to take Justin Jefferson completely out of the game, he said it himself, his other players around him are going to go off because they're going to have one-on-one coverage. Look at T.J. Hockenson, 7 catches, 114 yards. Addison with 8 catches, 162 yards and a touchdown. I mean, these are big numbers put up by other receivers. I mean, in a tight end. So it's real big spots here. Jones carrying the ball for 106 yards and a touchdown, averaging almost 5 yards a carry. When you look at the Bears, then honestly, I was impressed by Caleb Williams in the second half.
He
threw for 340 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think the biggest thing with Williams is he needs to know when to get rid of the ball. He holds on to the ball way too long sometimes, and we saw him take that sack in overtime, and it really killed the Bears' momentum. But this is a team that fought with a lot of grit, and even though we lost, I'm fine losing in this type of game where Williams is throwing the ball for 340 yards and 2 touchdowns. Losing 30-27, it's something that you know, you could at least hang your head high on instead of losing a game where you're not even scoring a touchdown.
The Bears have dropped five straight. They travel to Detroit. They travel to San Francisco. Then they go away to the Vikings, followed by a home game against Detroit before they play Seattle in Week 17. What's the outlook for the remainder of the season for your Chicago Bears? Is this kind of, you know, as a fan, I guess what I'm asking is, are you disappointed in how this season has went? I don't think Eberflus is going to be here next season. Is this just a development year for Caleb Williams, getting him some experience and then getting in a competent head coach that, you know, can really run an offense and help mature him real quick?
Yeah, for me, I think this is – look, we were never going to win a Super Bowl this year. Everyone knows that. So I think this is most important for Caleb to develop. So over the next couple of weeks, I want him to be able to throw the ball down the field and really let him loose. And then you get rid of Eberflus in the offseason and maybe bring on a guy like Bill Belichick. Who knows? I mean, this is a Bears team that has a bright future ahead. We just need to get our coaching situation in order and our front office in order, and I think we'll be fine and Caleb will be fine.
I completely agree. I'm very excited to watch him grow. Zaid, thank you so, so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure to have you on. Up next, we are going to talk some NFC East. There were just some absolutely insane games and individual performances. Most notably, this Cowboys-Commanders game was absolutely bonkers. I believe there was 41 points scored in the fourth quarter alone. I'm so sorry if you had the under in that game. It's just a brutal way to lose. And obviously, we have to talk about that Saquon Barkley performance from last night. Up next with Giovanna Scroggins here on Sports Overnight America, heard on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm your host, Scott Levine. Don't move. We'll be right back.
Who stole my baby? Who done it? Everyone in the room looks shady.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now.
It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, joined by Giovanna Scroggins, who I know during that fourth quarter of this Cowboys-Commanders game was shaking, was happy, depressed, excited, and ultimately just shocked at what went down. Giovanna, how are we doing?
I'm doing good, Tyler. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can we talk about this game for a sec? The over was set at 44.5. If you had that bet going into the fourth quarter, you probably switched the game. You thought you cashed the bet. You're looking at what you're placing next. And then all of a sudden, this fourth quarter happened where it was just touchdown after touchdown. We had a 99-yard kickoff return by Turpin, which was initially dropped. He hit the craziest spin we've ever seen and took the sideline, followed by the Terry McLaurin 86-yard pass, and then ultimately the onside kick returned 43 yards for a touchdown. You were spared some Cowboys negative talk last week from the bye week, and now here we are with some positive Cowboys talk. How about it?
Yeah, you know, I was convinced that the Cowboys were going to tank. So watching that game, I didn't even watch it until really later in that game. And I was like, wait, the Cowboys are actually winning. We have a chance to win this game. Okay, let me turn my TV on to this game. Was very surprised. I mean, Cooper Rush in that game, 3 for 247 yards, had 2 touchdown passes. So not looking terrible against, in my opinion, one of the better teams in the NFL right now. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders have obviously had kind of a stint right now. Don't know what's really going on with them. He's still my rookie of the year, in my opinion. But, yeah, great Cowboys win. However, I think it's not that's going to be the only win. We might get a win at home this week against the Giants for Thanksgiving. That's typically an easy one for us. Obviously, the Giants situation kind of all over the place with Daniel Jones being released. He's now an unrestricted free agent, so that's going to be interesting to see where he lands, if he lands somewhere. But, yeah.
Did we get too high on these Commanders? They were 7-2. They've dropped 3 straight now to the Steelers, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. Granted, the Steelers and the Eagles are both pretty solid teams. I think the Steelers are overrated personally. Do we get too high on them, or is this kind of just – is this still a season where they're further ahead in their progress than they should be?
I don't know if we're too high on them. I do think they are – eons ahead of where they thought they would be coming into the season now with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. I don't think we're too high on them, but I think the expectation of them being really good team, being a really good playoff contender is a little bit of an overreaction, and I think we've seen that and they've proven that. I do agree with you. I think the Steelers are overrated right now. I can't believe everyone's so high on them. I think they're putting together a great team, but saying that they're one of the hottest teams in football right now is a little bit of an overreaction in my opinion. I think it goes the same for the Commanders as well.
Your Cowboys certainly should be winning back-to-back games considering the state of football, not only with the New York Giants, but in New York as a whole with the Jets as well. Things did not get easier for Giants fans yesterday. After getting absolutely obliterated by the Buccaneers 30-7, we all saw Malik Nabers and his post-game comments referencing how we had no targets in the first half. What is he supposed to do? Ask Dable why I'm not getting the ball. And on top of that, in a game that had absolutely nothing to do with them, somehow things got worse after we watched Saquon Barkley go off. 26 carries, 255 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had multiple 70-yard rushing touchdowns. The Eagles win 37-20 in Los Angeles. They move to 9-2. I was not very high on the Eagles because of Sirianni, strictly because of Sirianni. They won 37-20 in a game where DeVonta Smith wasn't even playing. This defense is starting to look dangerous. Are the Eagles a legitimate Super Bowl contender strictly based off the fact that this roster is this talented?
I mean, you might have a point there. Saquon Barkley single-handedly can take this team to a playoff and maybe possibly to a Super Bowl. I think the Eagles have started off a little bit slow, but I think that's actually working in their favor. Now they've gotten things figured out. They know what of a monster weapon they have with Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's proven time and time again that he is just, he's the guy. And I think Saquon is a very, very good candidate for MVP this year. I think the last running back to win MVP was Adrian Peterson. I think Saquon Barkley could easily win MVP this year, especially if the Eagles make a really great playoff run and eventually go to the Super Bowl if they do. But yeah, I think especially when you look at the NFC East, the Eagles right now are a big contender, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't know how people don't have Saquon at the top of their MVP list. I mean, this guy is just going off. I've never seen anything like it outside of, you think about Adrian Peterson back in the mid-2000s. Eagles, outside of the Ravens, who they play next week, they play the Panthers, the Commanders again, the Cowboys, and the Giants. Their two toughest games are the Ravens and the Steelers. Even if they split, I mean, you're looking at, what, a three-loss team going into the playoffs. I think the Eagles are going to continue to grow and only get better, but we will see. I want to shift over to just what was an insane college football weekend. As of right now, Giovanna, your alma mater, SMU, is in the playoff in the 11th spot. They got some serious help by teams like Alabama, who lost 24-3, Ole Miss, who lost to Florida 24-17. I mean, what an insane weekend. And Texas A&M, who lost 43-41 to Auburn in overtime. Of all that we saw in college football this weekend, what was the most shocking to you?
Yeah, that Alabama loss was definitely really shocking. But Ole Miss losing, I mean, both those games were shocking. But, I mean, it's college football. You can't expect anything. You have to expect the unexpected. And it is for sure just, it's electrifying, and I believe SMU should have already been in the playoff contention when it comes to their yep. team right now going into the ACC championship. We've talked about that and just how the conference and all that kind of thing plays a big factor into it. But it's going to be really interesting to see this weekend what's going to happen. I will actually be at the Texas Longhorns and Texas A&M game this weekend, so that's going to be really fun to watch. Make sure you're following Sports Over at American on Instagram to stay up to date on all that sports coverage. But yeah, this weekend, last weekend of regular season play, we can't expect anything, and I'm really excited to see what shakes out of there and who end up being in that new 12-team playoff.
The Jackson Dart whole sequence at the end of that game was just mind-boggling to me. I have no idea what he's... This is the first multiple interception game that he's had in two seasons, and it just seemed like he had like a mental breakdown after he threw that first interception. I mean, the throwing into triple coverage, there was no need to do it. It made no sense. I had Florida to upset Ole Miss. Me and Zade were speaking about it. I love them to cover. I said Ole Miss should be on upset alert. I certainly did not see the Alabama game going the way it did. And Penn State narrowly survived, but I think they're a terrible team to begin with, so this didn't surprise me at all. One thing that everybody's talking about, and I want to hear your take on this, I don't think anybody expected Indiana to beat Ohio State. The question was, how much are they going to lose by, and what implications will that loss have on their hope for a playoff bid? For you right now, Indiana's sitting at 10-1. They lost to Ohio State on the road 38-15. Where do you stand with this Indiana team?
Yeah, I think, you know, talking about peaking a little bit too early, I think Indiana has played some great football this season. But I think teams are going to, you know, bust their chops a little bit when we see them playing bigger competition. And they have taken down some notable teams so far. But when it gets to these big-time games, I mean, that was a big-time game Saturday against Ohio State for Indiana. And we saw, I mean, that score 38-15. So it's going to be really interesting. I love the story out of Indiana. I'm rooting for them. But when they come and play these bigger teams in this bigger competition, it's going to be an uphill battle for them.
Are people being too harsh, though? You know, they were 10-0 coming into this game. They had not only won 10 games, they blew out everyone that they played. And then they went and played the number two team in the country in potentially the hardest place to play in college football, at least one of the hardest places to play.
and they lost 38-15. Are people overreacting and saying there's no way that Indiana should be in this playoff picture? Or is that a fair assessment considering, you know, a lot of the wins that they had were against not so tough teams? I mean, their strength of schedule was not very good.
Yeah, strength of schedule not very good. But at the end of the day, they're putting up crazy numbers against these teams. And I think it is a little bit of an overreaction to, you know, say that they're not a good football team or they can't, you know, hold their own. Like you said, they played the number two team, still put up 15 points, and they were in a chaotic environment. Yes, it was a loss. I think they're going to take that and wish that they had that one back. But this team is still a good football team. So, yes, definite overreaction when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I got them in the playoff as well. How can you not, especially after all these losses from these top teams over the weekend? I just find it crazy that we're going to see the inaugural 12-team playoff without Alabama. All right, Jevon, a real quick tonight game. The Ravens are traveling to SoFi Stadium to take on the Chargers. Right now they are 2.5-point favorites, over-under set at 50.5. What's your prediction for tonight's game? Who are you taking with?
I think Baltimore needs to win this one. I think Lamar Jackson can do it. I think the Ravens need to win. So I'm taking the Ravens in this one. But Chargers at home, Ladd McConkey, I mean, a dog. I believe J.K. Dobbins is also playing. So it's going to be tough. But, you know, rooting for Lamar and Baltimore in this one.
I'm riding with the Ravens, too. I know that Chargers defense is elite, and I mean elite. If you don't think so, go look at the numbers. They rank among the top, if not first, in almost every single defensive statistical category. All right, Giovanna, thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure. Up next, David Fletcher, author of Chili Dog MVP, written about baseball great Dick Allen, who is potentially being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame through the Classic Baseball Era Committee. I'll be with you. I'm your host, Todd Levine, here on Sports Overnight America. Stick with us for David Fletcher up next.
It's Black Friday buildup at Lowe's. Get a head start on Black Friday all month long with exclusive deals. Right now, get 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees just in time for the holidays. And get a free select tool when you buy a select battery or combo kit. So don't wait to save. Shop these deals in-store or online now, because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/21 through 11/27 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, and pleased to bring on David Fletcher, author of Chili Dog MVP, written about baseball great Dick Allen. It was recently announced that the National Baseball Hall of Fame announced an 8-person ballot that will be considered by its Classic Baseball Era Committee for the Hall of Fame class of 2025. On that ballot, Dick Allen, and who better to talk about him than David Fletcher. David, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Absolutely. When we go through some of these stats, I mean, he was the second generation of African-American players in the MLB behind Jackie Robinson, Larry Dobby, Rookie of the Year in 1964, AL MVP in 72 with the White Sox, played 15 years in the big leagues, 351 career home runs, almost 1,200 RBIs, .292 average, 7-time All-Star. What's taken him so long to get in?
Well, what's taking him so long to get in is that he got labeled as sort of a miscast or rebel, that he was a bad teammate. All not true, but that type of sticking label he got has hurt him. Plus, he wasn't very friendly with the writers. I mean, he was. You talk about the second generation of black players. He was really the first generation in Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia was the last National League team to integrate. And they sent Dick in 1963 down to Little Rock, 9 years after the famous Supreme Court decision about the Little Rock Board of Education. And he really had a difficult experience down there and was very much mistreated. And that really sort of cast him, his future, and it really was a big influence on his life what happened. I mean, he was tortured, mismanaged by the Phillies when they set him down at Little Rock, and he finally came up to the big leagues in late 1963. And as you said, Marty, he was the Rookie of the Year in 1964.
So explain the title, Chili Dog MVP, because it's got us all wondering.
Right. Well, the title is because it represents the signature moment in his most valuable player season in 1972 when he won the MVP for the American League when he was in the White Sox. He came over from the Dodgers for a trade for Tommy John, who's also on the ballot this December 8th, and he basically saved the franchise. The White Sox were just as bad then as they were in 2024. In 1970, the White Sox lost 106 games. Comiskey Park was empty. I was there. I was in high school then. And they needed a savior, just like they need a savior in 2025. And Dick came over, and he just electrified Chicago. He was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. He changed the destiny of the franchise. Instead of moving out of town, he revitalized the franchise. They got a radio contract again, and they almost won the American League West in 1972. They lost out to the Oakland A's in the first of their 3 years run as a dynasty. But they were still the second-best team in the American League that year, better than the Tigers, who won the AL East. Unfortunately, no wild card.
I'm Tyler Levine here with David Fletcher, author of Chili Dog MVP. You mentioned that he was the Michael Jordan in Chicago before Michael Jordan. I believe back then they were considering moving the franchise out of Chicago at the time. Do you think that he played a part in the White Sox ultimately staying in Chicago?
He definitely played a part. Again, he brought the fans back. You asked about the title Chili Dog MVP. June 4th, 1972, with a doubleheader of the White Sox. He had played in every game that season. In the second half of the doubleheader, Chuck Tanner held him back. The owner, John Allen, who was enjoying having all these fans, he had 52,000 fans at Comiskey Park overflowing on bat day, wondered why isn't he in the lineup. And so Chuck Tanner said, he'll come in the game. I'm just waiting for the right moment. And that right moment is the signature moment why it's called Chili Dog MVP, because the White Sox were losing, and Dick was in the locker room eating a chili dog, and he was told to suddenly pinch hit, and Sparky Lyle's on the mound, and he had to quickly get dressed to go out and bat, and he spilled this chili all in front of his uniform. Didn't matter. He got up there, and he hit a 1-1 pitch, line drive, two-iron shot that won the game for the White Sox. And it was the signature moment of the year and sort of what captured him in Chicago. And he definitely was the person who saved the franchise. The fans came back. They had over a million plus that year. Same thing in 73 and 74. So without Dick Allen, there wouldn't be a Chicago White Sox franchise.
I feel like so often we hear these stories of, you know, not only with Dick Allen, there's a lot of other notable players who, you know, it seems like to the common individual, it should be a no-brainer for them to be in the Hall of Fame. What is it about the Baseball Hall of Fame? And, it, you know, is it the process in which these, you know, they're voted in? Are there, you know, is there an adjustment that needs to be made to these sure shots that need to be getting into the Hall of Fame, getting in? And is this new ballot, this classic baseball era committee, going to help with that moving forward?
Well, I think your question is a great question. Certainly, why isn't Dick Allen, who's the best offensive player, who's not in the Hall of Fame for 11 years, he had the best OPS plus, 165, better than all his contemporaries, Stargell, Mays, Aaron, Mantle, Clemente, all those players. He was at the best offensive production. He's not in. And why? And this issue I told you before, he alienated the writers who didn't write him in. And these committees have met before. Dick in 2014 lost by one vote. He lost in 2021 by one vote again. And so we're hoping this third time, and providing more education of why he was a sensational player, but also a great teammate. He had a baseball acumen that was second to none. And so the committee has got to examine, go back in history, you know, 50 plus years ago, and examine and compare him to other people in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Dick, you know, again, is from an OPS plus, his 18th best all time in Major League Baseball history. His weighted runs created, WRC plus, which is a statistic about how many runs he created for his team. He has a 155 WRC plus. He's 18th among all players in all of Major League Baseball history. How come those statistics alone don't put him in the Hall of Fame?
It's pretty crazy. You know, it's funny. I actually had that statistic written down from 1964 to 74, the best OPS in baseball. The nine people behind him are all first ballot Hall of Famers. And it's something that, you know, it really ticks me off when we see these names of the players, you know, you think of, and a lot of times, unfortunately, it's the guys that have a little bit of controversy. And it's crazy to me that that can't be looked past. I mean, how is someone like Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame? You know, someone like Dick Allen, where you look at these statistics, and it's just mind-blowing. As you push to hopefully have him elected into this class of 2025, last question. For those who don't know Dick Allen, you know, first of all, if you don't, get a copy of the book, Chili Dog MVP. We're here with author David Fletcher. For those who don't know, you know, what's something that they should look into that will help, you know, really establish themselves as, you know, Dick Allen fans ultimately at the end of the day?
I think look into, besides what's on, it's in our book, it's just, you know, look at the on internet stories about why Dick was so special. You know, we got Goose Gossage, who was a rookie on that team in 1972, to write the foreword. He said Dick Allen was the best baseball player he had ever seen his entire career. The year 1972, which we chronicle in this book, was the best season they ever seen a baseball player have. Find out how special he was, what a good teammate he was, and that he had such incredible power. That's one thing people don't recognize. He was with Babe Ruth, Bo Jackson, Mickey Mantle, and Dick Allen, probably had the best power. He hit roof shots at Comiskey. He hit roof shots at Connie Mack. He hit them over the roof at Tiger Stadium. Those are some things I think are very, very special about him. But certainly the fact he saved a charter team in the American League Chicago White Sox, moving out of Chicago, makes them very special.
Very cool. David Fletcher here, author of Chili Dog MVP. David, I thank you so much for your time. It was great to hear these stories. I will certainly be pushing for Dick Allen to get into the Hall of Fame this season. You've created a fan in me, and we thank you here at Sports Overnight America and Sports Byline USA for your time. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Marty, for
Absolutely.
Having me on.
Absolutely. Hope to have you back soon. Coming up next, we have the two-minute drill. We'll get into tonight's game. Maybe we'll do a little recap of the English Premier League weekend, considering I am the host of First Touch on Fridays at 5 Eastern. I'm Todd Levine. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 4125.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline USA. We are heard on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Tonight's game is going to be one for the books. I could not be more excited. The Harbaugh Bowl, we all remember that great Super Bowl, Niners versus Ravens, the blackout game where all the lights went out. Tonight, I doubt that happens. There was no malfunctions in SoFi last night, so let's see. Ravens, right now the line moved while we were on the show from -2.5 to -3. I got Dom in the chat saying, as a Niner fan, that game was not great. I do not blame you. Obviously, we all remember the Ravens won. How cool is it to have two brothers as head coaches facing off in the NFL? As they say in the Harbaugh house, who has it better than us? Not many. Obviously, sharp bettors are riding with Baltimore, as am I. I understand that the Chargers are a good team. They've turned it around. They've kind of gotten rid of the stigma of them blowing games and creating new ways to lose. We all remember back in the mid-2000s, they were first in offense, first in defense, but dead last in special teams, and failed to make the playoffs. This is obviously a very different Chargers team. Very good offense, very, very good defense. The question for me with Baltimore is, can their defense find a way to turn it around and lock in, kind of like what the Bengals find a way to do at the end of every year? It seems like their defense always comes together and turns it around, but this Baltimore defense has just not been good at all. They lost to the Steelers last week. I'm riding with the Baltimore Ravens to win tonight. Something to keep your eye on, as Brock Hines has said on his Sports in 60 segment. Justin Tucker has not been good. He references having that three-footer in golf. You make it 9 times out of 10. It seems like it's automatic, and then all of a sudden you miss a couple and you wonder what's going on. Justin Tucker's got to figure it out. And this is probably the first time in my life that I've said that Justin Tucker has to figure it out, because he is, without a doubt, the best kicker in NFL history. I want to spend a quick minute for those who listen in on First Touch. For those who don't, First Touch, I host on Fridays at 5 o'clock Eastern, talking European soccer, the World Cup preview, and all that. A crazy weekend in the EPL, most notably Tottenham Hotspur taking down the four-time defending champions Manchester City 4-0 at the Etihad. Manchester City just lost 5 games in a row. After their last game, it was the first time that Pep Guardiola, their manager, had ever lost 4 games in a row in his managerial career. Now it's 5. I had this one wrong, and my co-host Nico Beefsauce had this one all the way right. He expected a Tottenham victory. He gave it out as his upset of the week. James Maddison scored twice. Pedro Porro added a third 52 minutes in, and Brennan Johnson sealed City's fate in the 90th minute plus 3 in stoppage time. I don't know what's going on with Manchester City. Listen, for their fans, I don't feel bad at all. You've won the league 4 years in a row. But things just, they don't look like the same team ever since Rodri went out injured. He was obviously a very, very important player for them. Ballon d'Or winner. They didn't lose a game for over a year with him in their team. But they just suffered their worst loss since 2006 at home in this 4-0 defeat. And how about Tottenham Hotspur? For those who don't know, I have an active and ongoing bet with my co-host Nico Beefsauce. If Tottenham finish in the top four come the end of the year, I owe Nico my car, and I have to get a Tottenham Hotspur tattoo on my body. I do fully plan to honor that bet. I am a man of my word. On the other side of Manchester, things also not great. The Ruben Amorim era began at Manchester United with a Marcus Rashford goal just 86 seconds into the game. And then after that, it all went downhill. Ipswich Town, who just got their first Premier League win in over 20 years, scored 43 minutes in off a Hutchinson banger of a goal into the top corner. It was deflected by Mazraoui. Still an absolutely fantastic effort. And after that, it was all Ipswich, you have to say. Andre Onana stood on his head in net. He made save after save after save after save. United dominated possession, but it was pointless possession. They weren't creating chances. When you watch the tape, Marcus Rashford, I don't know what's going on with him. He's not showing for the ball. He's not making runs in behind. And you got a guy like Rasmus Højlund who comes on and just he immediately is making more of an impact. Don't get me wrong, Rashford scored the goal. But outside of Amad Diallo, this team looks lost. Ruben Amorim in the post-match press conference says we are going to suffer for a long period of time. Listen, I'm not holding him accountable to anything that happens this season, considering he just inherited a squad of mediocre players who he did not pick to have here. Very interested to see what business gets done in January. It's one of those seasons, man, as a Manchester United fan, since Sir Alex Ferguson left. There's just been pretty much no hope at all for us in Manchester, but we hope to turn it around. The gap at the top of the table is 8 points. Liverpool sit at the top of the table by 8 points. As they face off against Manchester City on the weekend with a win, they can extend that to 11. Might to be too much to overcome. All right, thank you for sitting in with me here for the last hour on Sports Overnight America. It has been an absolute pleasure. Can't wait for this game tonight. Can't wait to talk to you guys tomorrow back with Marty Terrell here on Sports Overnight America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine. Appreciate you guys listening in here on iHeartRadio. Tune in, Simple Radio, and shout out to the troops listening in on the American Forces Radio Network. So long, and have a great rest of your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.